You're a podcast listener. You like listening to things. I like listening to things.
I like listening to books.
Oh, books.
Yeah, that's why I love Audible.
Me too.
So you download the app, put it on your smartphone, maybe you load it up on your tablet, and you've got an unbelievable selection of books at your fingertips.
You do. And we have a special way for listeners to grow the dream to get a free trial of Audible at growthedream.com/audible.
And that includes the audiobook of your choice selected from a huge number of titles. Anything you want, yours for free. And like you said, Rod, 30-day free trial of the service, but the book is yours to keep after the trial, even if you don't sign up. So go to growthedream.com/audible.
Nothing to lose. This is the one thing I would say about anything like this that is driven by a formula. You have to then come through with content.
All right, it's time for another episode of Grow the Dream. Today we get something, Rob, we've been waiting for a while.
Yes. Looking forward to it.
The big report that Joe Chernoff talked about a little while ago on blog posts that will increase in traffic over time instead of decaying.
Yeah, compounding blog posts is huge for driving traffic to your site.
Yep, so we get the full report, we break it down, we talk about the important stuff you need to know, all that and more next.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it, quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want, so you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the Marketing Podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
It's time for another episode of
Grow the Dream.
Hey, we got a jingle. Yeah, I love
it. I didn't know you were spring that.
See,
on me. I would have come up with something better.
Did the same thing to you.
Grow the Dream. Bah. Still waiting for the better.
Bah, bah, bah.
Ooh, now we're Survivor.
Grow
the Dream.
Exactly.
We're the Eye of the Tiger.
We are.
Marketing Mondays.
All okay. Right. Marketing Mondays. Hashtag.
So, Rod, welcome back.
Thanks very much. Good to be here.
We missed you very much last week. And as you know, the show was just not the same.
That's what I hear.
And we had an argument before the show about the word amicable.
Or amicable.
We should bring it on air.
It's on air now.
Is it amicable or amicable? I've always said amicable.
I believe it's amicable, but actually I'm amicable to either way because I'm just that kind of guy.
Well, I've always pronounced it amicable. And as I said, I had quite a bit of Latin training.
You said 4 years of Latin, and this was news to me.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
I did not know that, and now I'm doubly impressed with you.
I thought you spent 40 years in journalism.
That wouldn't even be possible.
Nothing should be news to you.
Yeah, well, that was news to me.
Well, all I can say is if I run across any ancient Romans, I'm going to be in great shape.
You're all over communicating. You'll be the translator.
I'm your guy. But anyway.
Really? It makes me much more, I feel like I need to honor your English skills more.
Oh, well, thank you. I actually really enjoyed Latin training. It's such a structured language.
Really? I have never heard anybody that enjoyed learning
something.
Latin.
I really did. No. Okay. Amicable,
yes.
As I would pronounce it too, is from the Latin word for friend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like friendly.
Right.
Like so, amicably.
And amiable is another adjective that we get from the same root.
Yes.
And
so the whole reason that word was brought up is because I was feeling good feelings towards you this morning, Rod.
Yeah,
while we were
making coffee before the podcast, he was all amicable towards me.
Yeah.
And
amicable.
So would you call it an amicus brief that someone files as
yes,
a friend of the court?
I would.
You wouldn't say an amicus brief?
No, I would call it an amicus brief because amicus sounds ridiculous.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
we'll
lay that one to rest.
I'm sparring with somebody now that has 4 years of Latin, and I have 0 years of Latin.
No, that's unfortunate. So the boring hosts that drink the same coffee every week.
Well, I'm glad
which
to
is
have
what
it.
We set out not to do. But you know, I buy this big bag of Coffee Cult, and it takes a while to go through it.
And I'm
so
grateful for it. I really am. Yeah. It's good. It's what can I say?
Might be drinking it every week, but I'm only drinking it once a week. So there's that.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm happy
for
you.
I'm with you on that, actually. Yeah.
Right.
So
I don't know how much Josh is getting it, but I'm only getting it once a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So last week was Google Analytics. We got into quite a bit of stuff, although I guess we didn't go quite as deep as I made it out to be at the beginning of the show, but
I know. We didn't get as nerdy as...
No, we really didn't.
It's hard to get nerdy without visuals.
Google
it's
Analytics
kind of hard.
What I've learned is that it's a bottomless pit. Like, you can spend as much time as you want. And up to... It's really kind of up to you as you explore analytics whether it makes business sense to continue or not, because there really are a lot of elements that could be mined. So,
I forgot about this and I didn't bring it up last time. There's this thing called Filament that basically takes all your existing Google Analytics data, and it's actually a paid product, but it gives you insights as to what you can do with that information. So it'll tell you, like, this post is an awesome post. You need to do more like this.
Does it tell you why?
Write something about this.
You need to do? Because that's actually somewhat relevant to what we will eventually be talking about.
Right.
Today.
We have a plan? Okay. I didn't know that. Didn't tell me. So, anyway, Filament.
Filament. Okay, so we'll check that out and see what that is.
Another tool for the day, making Google Analytics.
Yeah, so hopefully you found the show useful. What I noticed, ironically, guys, is that the downloads for this past week's show were up.
I don't feel bad about that at all.
In a real noticeable way.
You should.
So
I don't.
If we had
so
Filament.
We're officially firing Rod.
No, that's not what I mean. If we were to look at what happened, I attribute it largely to titles. Like, because titles of podcast episodes are a lot like titles of blog posts, right? If you see a list and there's one that jumps out at you, you're gonna download it or click it or listen to it or whatever the case may be. So I think we may have some evidence of a title thing. And of course, we've always put some energy into the titles of our episodes.
We try.
But sometimes more than others.
Right.
And last week's...
Hey, I wrote that one.
You did great. It was how to. It was, I think if I remember right, the title was how to customize Google Analytics for your business.
That's right in the sweet spot of what we're talking about today.
Isn't it though?
Yeah.
Yeah, you like how I did that?
That was very nice.
Yeah. What are we talking about again?
All right, here's what we're talking about, Josh. HubSpot. Our listeners might be familiar with HubSpot.
I think.
HubSpot has...
Before you mention that, going to inbound.
Yes.
Josh and I... Sorry, Rod.
I'm feeling like the odd man out here.
We're
going
to broadcast from there. We have to.
We have to.
I have this mobile recorder.
Yeah.
A very expensive mobile recorder, by
good.
The way.
Good. I was going to suggest
two microphones.
That we get one. Oh, good.
I have one. We can borrow it.
Just for the record, I have a company to run, so I couldn't actually go to it, but just saying.
I figured this
If you don't invest in your continued education...
If I blow off my biggest client, I won't have a company too.
Well, there's that.
Well, you got to pick and choose between your future and, you know,
and your present.
Actually, I'm going to let you guys do that part. I'm going to do my part. And
that's the awesome thing about working
the benefits
remotely.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
We should
record from Boston. I think we need to capture interviews all week during inbound.
Yes.
But what if we actually like Skyped Rod in for the recording session for the show? That might be fun.
Yeah. It would be interesting.
No,
We could tell him everything we're learning. I'm all on board with him for that.
Yeah. So if you don't know what we're talking about, inbound is actually a HubSpot event. Although, I don't think any of us are HubSpot customers here at the table. But I mean, we're going. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah. Jay Baer will be there. Joe Chernoff, of course, who is the person who told us about what we're about to talk about today.
Right.
Is from HubSpot. And boy, what a great lineup. Seth Godin is going to be speaking. I think Marcus Sheridan will be doing a session. He's one of our guests. Brené Brown, who is a little bit of a surprise because she's not a marketer, but she's a researcher that delves deep. Yeah. Did you guys ever watch the Brené Brown TED Talk that she did? It's on the subject of shame.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about this.
And
I haven't seen it.
You guys have got to watch it. It's like worth 17 minutes of your life. There are actually two TED Talks from her. One is a follow-up to the first. The first one is, like I said, it's on the subject of shame, but she's a vulnerability researcher.
Wow.
And she deals with the topic of vulnerability.
That's what I want to be when I grow up.
That's going to be a while.
Well, I'm glad that you were vulnerable with us, Josh, about that, because we want to encourage you to grow your dream. We're here to support the growth of dreams like yours. And
only in today's age can you be an expert in vulnerability.
Isn't that crazy?
I think it's cool. I think it's awesome.
I do too. Yeah.
You could be like, you know, I'm an expert on flies and I'm known for that, you know?
Or the further segmentation.
Or like
of
a specific
research.
Type of flies, you know?
Expertise.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those are entomologists.
You know?
Yeah. So she has done a lot of research in what she calls hacking the human psyche. And so I really think it's a brilliant addition to the lineup of speakers because she has a great deal of insight about how the human soul and mind work. Emotions and like I said, shame and vulnerability. It's worth the talk. I think we should post a link
with today's show notes to that. But anyway, lots of great speakers.
Psychology.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys are going to Inbound. I'm staying here.
We're gonna miss you though. Yeah. I mean, you know, it'll be our first Grow the Dream Show road trip.
Yeah.
So so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
But well, no, we're not driving.
Well, that's true.
But we're taking, just make that clear.
Air trip.
We are flying.
We're taking the show on the road, though. So
there you go. Yeah, we're taking the show on the road.
Okay.
Right.
So, all right. That'll be good. I totally interrupted you, Rod.
No, that's all right. So, regarding, speaking of HubSpot, David.
Yes.
Dang it. We are just plugging the crap out of them.
They'd have done a large piece of research on blogs, and not surprisingly, in that they're like kings of inbound their marketing using blogs. So, theirs is it's called the compounding blog posts. What they are. And why they matter. And what they've done is analyze blogging data from more than 15,000 companies. So this is a serious piece of research. So they've analyzed blogging data from 15,000 companies. Based on their analysis, HubSpot recommends that marketers focus on compounding blog posts. Those are posts whose traffic grows steadily over time.
When we interviewed Joe,
he used a different term.
Yeah, he talked about the shape of the traffic graph afterward.
Called accretive.
Accretive was his term because it grows. Yeah,
yeah, compounding
as opposed to decay. Yeah, I felt like this was a good use of of adjusting the language because accretive is like an investment term from looking at stock charts.
So they have compounding and they have decaying here. Compounding are the ones that grow over time.
They must have had a big discussion.
The one that has a big. You know, oftentimes it's a big poof right at the front, but then it just decays, compounding over time. So what their data, though, shows is
that... What are you doing? I mean, I thought the whole point was that I hadn't seen this before.
You haven't seen it? Well, you haven't seen it before, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you haven't seen it before.
I was going to see it on air.
Right.
So you can open it now. We're on page 3.
Yeah, these posts are far more valuable than the decaying posts, which deliver a surge of traffic and then decay over time. Now, this is the interesting part here. One of the interesting parts. While only 1 in 10 posts... are compounding posts, so that's 10%. They account for 38% of total blog traffic across their sample. So their conclusion is to maximize the chance of creating a compounding post, write articles that solve readers' problems, are easy to scan, and feature words like how and why in the title.
Yeah.
And so this report goes through a lot of details.
It does.
And it explains, it uses charts, it's got infographics, it explains how they arrived at their totals here and their findings, but that is enough for me to know, okay, let's go from there. And what they do from there then is they talk about how you can create compounding posts, key title words to use, and general approaches to it.
Yeah. And by the way, we're going to talk about some of the details of the report, but I recommend highly that you download this.
Absolutely.
If you're listening to the Grow the Dream
it's
Show,
free.
Yeah, it is free. If you're listening to the Grow the Dream Show, this is going to help you. I mean, you're the kind of person...
We should distribute it.
No, we can't do that. It is gated. Now, and I thought that was interesting, Rod, because Joe was on the fence at the time.
Yeah, he hadn't decided.
Oh, man, he asked for, like, my birth date. And I mean, it was a pretty detailed form.
Josh fell asleep during the form.
During the form fill?
Never got it, yeah.
I'm not a fan of form. I messaged you, Rod, David. Yeah. I was like, hey, can you just send that to me? I don't feel like filling out that form.
Yeah. And once it was...
They already had my
info. Once it was up on our Slack, then I just downloaded it from there. So
yeah, you guys are a pair of slackers, I think. I filled out the whole form. Actually, you know what? I filled
I
out
you were
so
say
many
parasites. But...
Yeah, no. So I filled out so many HubSpot forms. It was already filled out. All I had to do was click a button.
Well, every time I start to fill out a HubSpot form, it's all automatically filled. And this is great because this is what they're looking for. In that is they're looking for my email. What they already have me on their mailing list. So
of course,
there's no harm done downloading more stuff.
Now, ironically, we talked about a post like this last week because in the context of Google Analytics and trying to analyze our client site, that was part of our discussion from last week.
Yeah, you have one of those.
It is a perfect example in a number of ways of one of these compounding posts because that thing has grown in traffic over time, continues to grow in traffic over time. And I got to tell you, this is not my first, you know, rodeo with posts that do this, but I don't have access to 15,000 client websites to analyze what they've done. So this is a treasure trove. This report is worth it.
So, I mean, there's one respect in which gut feeling is good, right?
True.
I just know this just seems to work all the time. But I am a data-driven person. I like facts. I like the research. So when you have something like this that is actually not just reinforcing, but then reinforcing why and here's how.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are a blogger and you want to drive traffic to your website through blogging, which why wouldn't you? I mean, this is just almost an invaluable report.
It really is. And HubSpot hired a researcher. I mean, so this isn't just, you know,
right.
some guy in a back room.
Well, let's tear this thing apart.
Let's
just divulge all the details. Like titles with words, with 6 to 13 words, attract the highest and most consistent amount of traffic.
It's so good to know. That's a nice rule of thumb between
13 words is a lot of words.
It is. I would keep it on the shorter end of that range.
I don't know.
Personally.
I've seen lots of.
But it matters what the words are.
Yeah, it really does matter. And that's one of the things that they pointed out was that there are some things that you can take away as potential, these are some words you should think about putting in your titles if you want to get them, you know, read and open.
So, I think it's great that they're wanting to focus on these compounding posts, but do the compounding posts, they write these 10 other posts, right? It's 1 in 10 are compounding. But I guarantee you, they know which ones ahead of time. This is a compounding post. Like, we know this is going to have evergreen value to it.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think they absolutely do. Hold on.
Evergreen is only one
factor. And then they
link
to those. So, like, you have 10 other posts that will link to another evergreen post because you know those are your focused, like,
keep in mind,
money posts.
This data is from HubSpot customers that may not even know this is going on.
Right. What this is reporting, they're not saying they're shooting for 1 in 10. They're planning 1 in 10. What they're saying is they have found that 1 in 10 are. And then I think that their point is if you follow these rules, actually you'll do much
more
better
than
1 in 10.
Exactly.
You can maybe you can get half of them to be compounding, and that will drive a lot more traffic to your site. That's my takeaway from the results here.
Yeah, one of the things that they said is that if you do end up creating one of these, and by the way, I've tried to write these in the past,
right.
but I was lacking data,
right.
You know, so yeah, sure, I've had the gut feeling, hey, this is going to be one of those,
right?
And it bombed,
right?
So
but we know generally, we know listicles work and the how to's, yeah, we do
listicles,
yep.
But go tactical, not topical.
So that was one of the items that they said.
Right.
So tactical versus topical. So, but they were very specific about this. Like you could do something that's entirely too narrowly focused,
right?
In a post. So let's talk about what that means. Ironically, their choice of topics in this report is about bad breath.
Isn't that ironic?
And I had not
seen.
Who
do we know
this?
At this table that has a client that deals with that very issue?
I know. So their broad tactical example was how to get rid of bad breath for good.
Yep.
Right? And that
That's
has
weird.
9 words.
And the narrowly focused one, I can't even pronounce it.
Tonsilliliths.
So that's right. Latin guy.
Yeah. Well, these are tonsil stones. Have you ever heard of tonsil stones?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. They are a white stone.
Oh, no.
That will form within the folds of your tonsils at the back of your throat.
Not if you don't have your tonsils.
True. But if you do have tonsils and you ever have one of these, you might cough one up one day.
Okay. It'll freak you out, probably.
Honestly,
huh?
It is the nastiest smelling substance you have ever imagined.
What's that called?
Really? Because I have...
That's what those things are called.
A tonsillolith. Yeah, or a tonsil stone. Yeah.
I have dogs that eat cat poop and then breathe on you. And there are very few more destructive nose smells than that.
Do you need a dog obedience school? Is this?
No, I don't mind them fighting over the dog, like the cat.
Okay.
Have you ever had this happen?
I actually have had a tonsillolith in the past, and I will tell you, it is shocking how nasty this stuff can smell.
Is this a concern? Like, if you have one, like, are you in trouble?
No. It just means that stuff gathered back there, and then what happens is bacteria grow on it.
Sure. It's the bacteria that's thinking.
Sorry, listeners, you guys are cringing right now, I'm sure.
It's the volatile sulfur compounds that the bacteria emit as waste. And that's what you smell. And it's nasty. Yeah. So, but their point was...
Is it linked to heart disease?
I'm amazed you know this much about this.
I've learned a lot about bad breath. I really have. Because, I work with clients, man. We take this seriously, man.
Yeah,
I got to do...
You have a very smart, successful client.
Tonsillolith's connection to halitosis was the title that they gave
it. A little narrowly focused, yeah.
Well, right. Because first of all, it's got a lot of jargon in the title. It's very technical, right?
I read that and go... Boring.
But hey, it's probably easy to rank well in Google for that phrase.
Right.
Because you're probably not going to have a ton of
people
competition.
People are searching for one of those words.
I don't know what
which only 18
white
in the world
back
would.
Back
but.
So I think we can understand why how to get rid of bad breath for good might outperform tonsillolith's connection to halitosis.
Right.
But they gave an example of a topical version of the same idea, which might be a new study shows X% of people have bad breath. So a topical approach like that one, new study... X percent of people have bad breath. That's going to be, first of all, it's going to be dated because it's a new study.
Right.
And so that's kind of newsy. That would be a great headline for a journal.
Sure.
A newspaper journalist type. Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah.
But their point is that's going to attract a little bit of attention and then it's going to decay.
Right. Right. So that's the decaying kind. And it says it's a new study shows it doesn't tell me anything. In other words, basically, if I'm searching for something, if I've got bad breath, I don't care how many other people do. I want to get rid of my bad breath. And that's where their broad tactical one, how to get rid of bad breath, would hit exactly what I was looking for.
So I think this kind of goes down, I mean, at least in this example, I'd be curious if this translates to a lot of their other examples, but you're clearly describing the problem in that post.
Well,
like
that's
describing the problem you have to solve, and either that resonates with someone reading the title or it doesn't. But if you don't clearly describe the problem you're solving, like...
So I think that's a good point, because I have long trained our clients and the people who've gone through our training programs that if you want to win at Google search, you have to think like a searcher, not like a publisher. And the problem is when we own businesses, we think in terms of solutions to problems and we don't think about problems.
I try to think like I'm a Google bot and that I scan hundreds of thousands of pages every day.
I believe you.
Yeah, that's good.
Those are soulless.
But one of the factors, yeah, they are. One of the factors of
the world.
One of the factors of thinking like a searcher is that people search on problems. They don't search for answers. They search for answers by searching for problems.
Right.
Oh, exactly.
Right.
They're not going to search for tonsillitis.
Unless they happen to know the name. Right. They might. Yeah.
They'll learn it because they'll search for how to get rid of bad breath and this white thing that showed up in my throat. And then they'll learn, it's called tonsillitis.
or whatever it's called.
Tonsillitis.
All right. But so that also, their example there, probably not coincidentally, starts with how. And in their research here, they have common words found in compounding blog titles. And the top one, 11% of the top performing compounding blog titles, 11% of them have how in it. 10% have your, and then it drops down. 5% have what, 4% have best, 3% have why, 3% have tip.
So how, your, what, best, why, and tip are their top six.
Top six. And frankly, though, the how is almost four times higher than tip and why. So, I mean, how and your are really ones you'd want to key in on whenever possible.
Yeah, I like that. And they found that that data was based on nearly 2,000 blog posts that meet this description of it being a creative or a compound post. So that's pretty fascinating. And so, and it happened that last week's podcast episode was how to customize Google Analytics.
And what have been the results?
Well, like I said, I mean...
did you say that on the air?
That's okay. No, there were
jeez.
Are we on the air right now?
Covering this already.
Okay. There's a noticeable spike in traffic on that particular episode of our podcast. So I think that's pretty fascinating.
It simply proves what their research shows.
It does, yeah.
Use words like how or why in the title.
I feel pretty good about that because it means that my absence had nothing to do with it.
Oh, here's more detail. So specifically, 11 to 13 words performs better.
Yeah.
You see that?
Really? That's interesting. That's counterintuitive to me.
Yeah. It performs better than 6 to 10 words.
Here's why I think that may be. Because if you make a title that's 11 to 13 words in length.
You're probably using keywords?
You may cover a couple of good keyword phrases rather than just maybe one good keyword phrase.
It's kind of like the difference between long tail and short tail.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That doesn't surprise me. I'm not surprised by that at all because again, you know, if you're thinking about what problem you can solve for a potential customer, and you write your post in that way,
and if you think like
many,
a Google bot,
how many letters is it before Google cuts it off? 60 some characters.
It's 70 characters, I think.
So the title.
The title tag can have up to 70 characters.
Right, and you need to remember that if you're at 11 to 13 words or whatever, that they aren't all tonsillitis stuff. It's going to run over 70 characters.
Keep in mind, too, that depending on the setup of your site, that may go beyond, the title tag may extend beyond your title. So, like, for example, we append Grow the Dream Show to the title of every podcast episode. So if you found it in a Google search, it would say whatever the title of the show is, and it has a little separator character, and then it says Grow the Dream Show. So our titles usually extend beyond 70 characters as a result. But
yeah, I wouldn't stress about the 70 characters thing. That's just me.
And it's not a hard rule either, because the 70 characters will vary a little bit. Google's using it's the width that's the issue, not the number of characters per se. So, and again, and keep in mind, it depends on what device the person is using when they're searching.
Well,
so,
sure.
You know,
that's true.
You know, mobile searchers may see a different number of characters and all that sort of good stuff. So I tend to, like you, Josh, I tend to ignore a little rules of thumb like that. But this post gives us some, or this report that we're looking at gives us some real serious data about why it might be good to go longer.
6 to 13 is awesome. Cool.
So they also talk about what to include in a compounding post in this, that the compounding blog posts have images. We know that. I mean,
we did a whole show on that. Yeah,
we did. So you got to have images, bolded headlines.
Yep.
Bullet points. Again, that's the listicle concept, I think. Thorough but short length.
Really? Wait, what? Can we pause on that?
Which one? Thorough but short length?
Yes.
Okay.
Those seem a little counterintuitive, don't they?
Yes.
So what they're saying is don't go so brief that you leave out information that a person who's reading this post will kind of read it and say, well, you didn't deliver on your promise in your title. Yeah.
It says error on the side of
brevity. Oh, you don't want that, Drew.
Right.
Error on the side of brevity.
Well, that, but it's
but
saying
don't skimp on the details.
Thorough but short. I mean, so they've kind of covered themselves there. Clearly, I think it's very true. You have to make sure that you come through on what you promise.
I agree.
I mean, HubSpot writes some really long blog posts.
Yeah.
And sometimes.
Neil Patel will tell you that a 2,000-worder might get shared more often than a 500-worder.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, he does a really good job of, like, putting months of work into a piece of content and then spending months after
promoting
it, so then it ranks. But that's interesting.
It also includes, the posts also include answers to the reader's question and links to other information.
Which is a way that you can be thorough without, you know, making the length of your post extreme, because you can link to other content, which, by the way, is one of the ideas we were talking about last week. If you do have a piece of content that's performing well, you should link it to other stuff, because you're going to need to keep that visitor on your site.
Channel that SEO juice.
Not just the juice, but keep the visitor going. You want your bounce rate to go down and, you know, all that other stuff.
Sorry.
So, yeah.
Sorry, I'm thinking like a Google bot.
No. It's all of the above. It's all of the above. Absolutely.
Do we need like Sarah Connor here to protect us from the Terminator from the future? I'm just wondering who we have here with the Google bot going on. I mean, now I can't remember the name of the Skynet. I mean, how nerdy am I at this moment? I am out nerding everybody at this table.
No, I remembered Skynet.
Yeah, but I said it first. I'm also out immaturing everybody at this table.
I was going to say, I don't know what you were hunting for until you said it. You don't know what we're talking about?
No, but let's move on.
You've never seen The Terminator?
No. Never mind.
Okay. So I like the idea, though, that in the interest of being brief but thorough, right, they give some really useful tips in here.
Right.
And we're not going to cover all of these, because you really need to download this report. There's no way for us to cover this. It's not a huge report. It's only 22 pages, which I was actually a little surprised about. I was kind of expecting this to be much more like detailed and thorough.
Yeah.
But I felt like they followed their own advice here. They really sought for brevity.
Right. They did. But it is thorough, I think.
22 pages does not sound.
Well, for a researcher to analyze that kind
when
of data.
You have 15,000 companies that you've analyzed.
Let's just give out the good stuff, though.
Well, that's what we're doing, obviously. So one of the things they said was what you should do is strive to answer common questions. So you're trying to anticipate the questions that someone might ask based upon what you state.
Right.
Like, you know, what are some of the follow-up questions that they're gonna have? And then offer the answers to those questions, which, of course, is great if you're thinking like a Google bot. Right? Because now you're getting stuff that's not just the main search phrase, potentially, but other stuff.
Right.
So that's good. I liked this one. Help people make choices. So if you're talking about a given set of products or whatever, help them understand why this one versus that one might be good.
Right.
And then why the other one might be good. You know, what are the reasons why you might make these choices?
So in some of their examples here, on one of them, for a topic, they have personal finance. And they say they have, for the title part, they have compounding title, top rated 401k funds, decaying title, new 401k rules for 2014.
Mm.
Now, that makes a lot of sense to me based on what you're saying there, because the one is obviously is going to decay right away, but it's also a lot less relevant to what I need, because you're not answering anybody's question unless basically, you know, you're a financial consultant. If you're just a person interested in their finances and you're handling your own, and a lot do, you know, in our own 401ks, handle our own investments.
So the takeaway,
you do the top rated one. So that makes sense.
So the takeaway here is don't think like a journalist. when you're writing
posts. Actually, there's a lot of truth to that, although I think that journalists haven't always been thinking rightly about these things. But when you're talking about the world of Google, and researching,
I'm not sure what to make of this. You guys are forming a new bromance over there. We're like right around the table.
It's like if you will say bromance? You don't know bromance?
No. Gosh dang it, I know what a bromance is. I'm just offended that you would...
Let's just watch your language there,
not
buddy.
A bromance?
Gosh,
language?
Gosh dang it, come on.
Okay, well, I'm sorry I brought it up. Now you sound like a pair of old married, you know, I don't know what.
No, I'm mad at you. I'm mad
at
him.
I know, but it's... Never mind. The bickering. I'm sorry to our listeners
that
you have to endure this.
I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
We're real on this show.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're really annoying, it turns out. But
no, that's
real.
Just you.
No, I think that was you.
Is the bromance done? Can you stop saying that?
We're pretty done now.
Okay, then. There was a point you were making. Well, I think because we're not trying
we're
to think about
questions.
Yeah.
And even in the title, you can see, I think, that you're going to have your question answered. And that's what you were talking about there. New 401k rules for 2014. That's not going to answer the questions of very many people. But top rated 401k funds definitely is something that you would be interested in looking at.
How to make money on your 401k.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Your,
and how.
Because you got, yeah.
Boom.
Boom. Exactly.
The best way.
You know what? You need to make it longer, though.
Well,
not
just put
words.
The word boom at the end with an
boom,
exclamation
boom,
point.
Boom, boom, boom. No, that probably doesn't work.
Just one. Just not repeated.
This is why formulas are
That's
not
why you love me.
The answer that we want.
Right.
Because then we're going to... So this is one of the takeaways of this, right?
I would totally put boom in the title.
Formulaic approaches... may actually backfire on you. Like I think it would be amusing to write a blog post on some topic that meets every one of these requirements,
but only
and
does
totally
that.
Sucks.
Just,
but
totally
sucks.
Doing that. Yes.
Yeah, totally.
I think Googlebot would
just
like
don't
it.
Do it. Don't do it on any of our own platforms.
The problem is right. Exactly. The problem is that it would be funny and people would share it just because, and then it would actually become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So
you could have an image of Skynet.
Yeah. Now one.
Oh,
of the,
now he's pretending he knows what we're talking about.
One of the great elements of this report, the fourth section of the report, deals with strategies to increase your chances. So this moves you beyond 10%. But what I like about this is that this is an approach that's written not just for, you know, they've already covered sort of the tactical things like here's restructure this way, do this to your title, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is more the strategic stuff about, all right, what can you do to restructure your approach to creating content completely that might guarantee or ensure your success with this?
Do tell.
Well, one of them is editorial calendars. How many who has an editorial calendar at this table?
Who has a blog at this table?
Well, we all have blogs. Right?
Who's regularly blogging?
Are you?
No.
I am, somewhat.
No.
Well,
that's the problem.
I can't count it for clients. I know. We're doing it for clients, but not for ourselves. Yeah.
Right. Actually, I'm going to be doing it for myself.
Which we need
eventually
to discuss this.
Yeah, we do.
Is this going to happen?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay,
we'll
now
regular
I'm
blog posts for Grow the Dream?
Well, see, we've tried this a few different times.
We got to say it on air.
I've scrapped.
We got to promise to our listeners that we're going to start blogging.
We got to talk to Rod before we do that.
No, we don't.
We have. You say that the two of us would outvote him anyway. editorial calendars. So, and I think this is something we should really discuss. Like, we should get somebody on here. I mean, Jay Baer talked about editorial calendars.
Okay, so for the record, I mean, I used editorial calendars for years, and I created editorial calendars for the Business Review and all.
And
so
I'm going to find a cool app that helps you create an editorial calendar.
I've got three or four of them. I tried them. You know what I found is, if you don't use the apps, it doesn't matter.
Like any app out there, you get out of it what you put into it.
It's a commitment that you have to, but that was the thing. You guys were in the publishing business. You're a media company. You've got to, like Jay Baer said, you're going to publish an issue every day whether you want to or not.
Frankly, the editorial calendars were as much driven for advertising purposes as for content purposes, you know, because you were wanting to hit certain advertisers different times of the year. You do a couple banking issues because you can get a lot of banking advertisers. You do some insurance issues so you can get a lot of insurer advertisers. And
you do the top doctors issue because you got to get the...
And they did the top 50 construction companies, the top 50 projects, and then you get all those advertisers, but you have to then come through with content. And this is the one thing I would say about anything like this that is, you know, driven by a formula such as this, is that you still have to come through with content. I'll go all the way back to, you know, Grow the Dream number one. Content's always going to be king, because if you do the right stuff, like you were just saying, you know, doing it in a farcically bad one, if you do the right stuff but your content stinks, you're still going to end up failing as a blogger.
Yeah.
I love that he finally conceded right there with that statement that content is referring to blogs.
I never argued otherwise.
You guys have been having this argument since episode number one.
Yes. We haven't been having an argument. He's just been wrong.
So I have to, I want to say this.
Okay.
Can I say this? So I'm looking at the end notes, and which I'm surprised you aren't looking at the end notes.
I think I'm there.
It's interesting to note that it says across the 20,000 blog posts that they research, which is funny that they stopped at 9,000 or 19,519. You'd think they could have come up with 500 more. Anyway, they found that
their customers weren't blogging often enough.
Yeah. come on, guys. We just need 500. We found that 1 in 10 posts are compounding. We already know this. 12 months after being published.
All right. So they're still compounding.
Right. No, but the point
maybe
being
it took that long.
They didn't know it was compounding. Like they couldn't determine if it was compounding until 12 months after the fact.
Well,
like
that might have been part of their determination of whether it was compounding or not is 12 months out.
Yeah, the chart where they actually show, I think this is on page 6 of the report, where they show a profile of visits to a typical compounding post. It does grow steadily, but at the 12 month mark, they looked at a 24 month or 22 month history, I guess, on this one. And at the 12-month mark, that's where you start to see it really climb. It was kind of steadily climbing.
Right.
But then it really jumped. But then it had a massive fall off in month like 17 where it was down. And then it climbed even higher. You know, so it's not like you're necessarily going to bank on this one post driving traffic consistently for long periods of time.
No, you have to. I think the idea is you want to have a lot of compounding posts and they're spread out over time.
Well,
so your traffic over time just continues to go up.
Well, Googlebot is moody, you know.
Well, and Google's algorithms change. I mean, they're going to
see. Googlebot is a she.
Okay. Okay, good to know.
Oh, no.
Okay.
All the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park are female. So,
oh, right. Yeah. Right. Well, except for the stupid frog DNA.
Yeah, that frog DNA gets you every time. Every time. Yeah. Nature finds a way.
Yeah. I need to go back and listen, watch the. I just saw the latest one, and I'm thinking, I don't remember.
I read the
that
books.
Being in the latest.
The
one.
Books were excellent.
They were
weren't
so
they?
Good. The
Michael
movies
Crichton,
were okay. Oh,
except for
what
the book,
loss
the
to
one,
have him gone.
The one book that they wrote after the movie, like he wrote the book
okay.
to did, match the movie.
Did not read that.
Oh, it was bad. Okay. That was like the third one, I think.
When I read, too much of a tangent. It was a good book.
So
worth reading, actually.
Speaking of books, I'm reading a book titled.
Is this gonna be
do Androids? Dream of Electric Sheep.
I've always wanted to read that book.
Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Brad Feld recommended it.
And this is
so
before Android became an operating system. That book's been out
right.
for a while.
Yeah, which kind of confuses
you're talking about I see.
Like
androids.
If you were, if you were
robots.
Right,
yeah.
Robots.
If you were like the Terminator.
Human-like robots.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, you need to download the report. It's definitely worth getting, and we couldn't possibly cover it all today. But we're interested in kind of what bounces off of you when you read it. It's going to be interesting to hear back from you, our listeners, and see kind of what jumped out at you and what you were most interested in.
Yeah, actually, I'd love to hear their input because they might pull out insights that we didn't see.
Yeah, absolutely. So Alphabet, you know, we talked about this last week, Rob.
Oh, we're going there again.
In your absence, yeah.
Yeah, and you have some opinions on that?
ABC.xyz.
Wow, I'm not shifting tracks fast enough for that one. But yeah,
Google rename. I mean, no, it's not a rename of Google, I guess, but it's
no, you had a rename on this.
Well, I mean, I had some thoughts at the time, but a few things have happened since then.
Come on, get on your soapbox.
I don't have
I was
one
looking
for
forward
it.
To
I
this.
Was just I was just I just thought that basically it's a restructuring of Google, you know, basically allowing Sergey and the other one to be holding partners in it and focus on VC stuff. It gives them a huge amount of freedom. I mean, frankly, talk about living your dream.
Truly.
Think that was entirely structured, I felt like, so that they could completely do whatever their imaginations, you know, imagined for them to do.
Yeah, and stick some other guy on Google.
Yeah, and let some other guy that's been doing Google for a while already anyway, let him run it. Let other people do the nuts and bolts of Google and YouTube and whatever else they have going. Mm. And then have Sergey. Who's the other one?
Sergey and Larry.
Larry, that's
Larry Page.
Yeah. So and let those two guys just run with their imaginations and do their self-driving cars and do their cancer, which I God bless them if they can get cures to cancer. You know, I'll use Google search all the time.
They have the data. I mean, they have data that nobody else has.
They sure do. I mean, and these guys, what I love about them is that there is absolutely no boundary that they aren't willing to look at soaring past. I mean, they look at nothing as impossible at all.
That's true.
And you got to sort of admire that.
Oh, yeah. Mars colonies.
I mean, we all have to live with whatever Google does anyway. I mean, right. You know, the reality of it is.
Yes, they might still be Skynet. But
they may yet be.
They may yet be. Yeah. But right now, I mean, I like the way they set up the structure for themselves to be able to pursue all the rest that they want to pursue.
Every entrepreneur's dream. It's got to be, though. You know,
because you can almost move on. Bottomless pit of funding.
And they
although they could get partners like crazy too.
Oh yeah.
To leverage their funding even further.
I think that they're probably ADD, ADHD, like the rest of the entrepreneurs that I know, and so for them to be able to just work on whatever.
Right.
That's got to be.
It's kind of amazing they came up with the algorithm in the first place.
It's the right choice for the long term, I think so.
Oh,
Have you ever read The Algorithm? The original, their doctoral thesis?
No. They have a doctoral thesis?
This is the birthplace of Google, is this doctoral thesis that they prepared, the two of them.
You'd think they would have come up with a better name than Google.
Well, there's a lot of discussion on that. You know, it's actually got a little mathematical history.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It's
a really, really big number.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like
Googleplex, right? Wasn't that? I mean, when I first heard Google, I thought of the Googleplex.
What? What's the Googleplex? When you talk about that,
that's a mathematical thing.
Well, the number yeah. Google, which is spelled differently, by the way, Google,
is a certain number of one times ten to the 100th power.
So it's like basically the digit one followed by 100 zeros, and that's the number Google. That's its name.
Right.
So like, you know, billion, trillion, whatever, that's Google.
Right.
So they named it in honor of a mathematician. So I thought that was kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. I mean, Googleplex
is the name of their compound, isn't it? So like, I think when you say Googleplex, I think that's the name of the campus.
Okay.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
I think that comes from.
That's another word for Google. Googleplex is the number.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, no. A Googleplex is the number 10 with Google in the exponent spot. So it's basically
So it's beyond
10 to the 100th power.
Right. So it's
it's a way to describe a number? Is it Googleplex?
A Googleplex, yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's a,
if you spell it with G-O-L. Now if you spell it G-O-O-G-L-E plex, that's the headquarters of Google Inc.
So when you just inserted "I don't know what I'm talking about," you were wrong.
Well, I just saying that because then it puts you in a spot where you have to prove yourself right.
Which I did. David, I'm an instigator.
No.
You are an instigator.
Oh, boy.
And basically, you're in the category of darn kids.
And with that, so I hope this has been a useful show. Obviously,
at some point, yes.
We're going to be digesting a lot more from this report. Yeah,
I love the show.
And you may even see some adjustments to our podcast episode titles as a result or whatever.
Certainly, I'm going to focus the titles a lot differently when I write them. Although, if Josh does a good job, Josh can have the job.
How to Your Boom.
Boom.
That should be the title.
How to Your Boom.
And that should be what we call today's show. How to
Googleplex.
Your Boom.
Yes.
And that should really bomb, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
No way.
How formulas don't work.
No way. Let's test this.
Well, you can.
We're marketers. We're testers. We're at the forefront.
You can sound off on today's show by tweeting us at GTD Show. You can also visit growthedream.com/shows/029 for today's show notes. We'll have links out to, let's see, vulnerability talks on TED, this report, various other sundry stuff. You mentioned a tool at the top of the show, so we'll link out to all that stuff. And you never know what you might find as a surprise in the show notes. So we want to hear from you. We're looking forward to it. You're also welcome to make comments on the site there.
Yep.
And we'll look forward to that. Hey, guys, we have a guest coming up in a couple of weeks, and I'm really excited about.
Absolutely.
We're going to be talking about conversion rate optimization.
Ooh.
How to get better results out of your
web forms. So once you have used this formula to get a lot of people coming to your site, then how do you convert them?
Yeah, that's right. How do you get better results out of your pages? So that is going to be really, really good. We've talked about this, you know, as a topic that we want to discuss. Well, we got one of the guys that is at the top of that business right now. So I'm really excited about this.
That's
going to be
awesome.
A great show coming
up.
Orange
buttons? Blue buttons?
Ah.
What's the better button?
We'll ask him. You may be surprised at what he says.
Images? Videos?
Yep.
How many forms do you put on your... Sorry.
That's all right. I'm looking forward to it. So until then, hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll look forward to chatting with you next week.
Googleplex.
Josh's new word.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.